Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. And Merry Christmas. Oh, happy day. We've got a very special episode lined up for you on this wonderful holiday. And most importantly, we are going to be drinking some eggnog. It's not Christmas Day without eggnog. And maybe, you know, maybe it's not Christmas without the Bickersons. We've got an episode of our favorite duo you might remember from your youth or from the very first episode of Kansas City Actors Radio Theater, The Bickersons, starring Hillary Clemens and Matt Schwader as Blanche and John Bickerson. Before we get to their celebration of Christmas, I want to introduce you to two other very special people who are going to be my co-hosts today for this holiday episode. We've got two of our newest members on the Kansas City Actors Theater Artistic Committee here with us, Ms. Bree Woods and Mr. Jerry Magnan. Hello there, Christmas people.
Hi, happy holidays.
Hello, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Well, okay, I don't know about you two, but eggnog is kind of a crucial part of my family's Christmas celebration, and not just any eggnog. It's got to be homemade eggnog. So I have whipped up a batch of my special recipe, and even though we're not together in the same place, I think you two may have received some samples of my homemade eggnog. Is that right?
We have the stuff.
Did an elf come and make a little delivery today?
I saw a cute little elf on my porch this afternoon.
Good, good. Okay, and we also have some samples of the store-bought carton kind of eggnog that we're all probably very familiar with. And we're going to have a little taste test and explore the wonders of the eggnog world. So I say we get started with the drinking, okay? And I suggest that we start with a little taste of the store-bought stuff. And I like to enrich my eggnog, I call it enrich, with a little bourbon, whiskey, brandy, rye, any of those things. So I've gone ahead and done that, and I would encourage you to do the same. It helps cut the sweetness a little bit. So here we are. We're going to taste the store-bought stuff.
Cheers.
Oh, well, now that's good.
It's definitely what I'm used to. I didn't grow up on the homemade stuff. So apart from the brandy, I also normally don't use it, drink it with the brandy. It's what I'm used to.
Straight up eggnog. Wow.
Straight out of the carton.
I like, actually, you know, well, I like a drink now and then, but I think the brandy helps cut sort of the heaviness and the sweetness of the eggnog, but it's probably pretty good all by itself.
I agree. Sometimes the eggnog, sometimes, even though it's one of my favorite parts about the holidays, it's a sweet drink. It can be thick and sweet, and brandy, I agree, it cuts it nicely.
Yeah. Now, speaking of cutting it, let's try a little bit of the homemade stuff now. It already has the whiskey in it, so please don't add any more or you'll really be in trouble with that. Now, see,
yes.
I think that's really good.
Ooh, it's a familiar taste to me.
Bree, you've had my homemade eggnog before, have you not?
I am. I'm spoiled. I've been spoiled from regular eggnog forever. It doesn't get better than yours, Sean.
So, Jerry, a newbie to the homemade world, what do you think?
I like it.
You don't have to just say that, Jerry.
No, I like it. My favorite part about it is the foam that's on top. It keeps getting stuck in my mustache, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. You get an eggnog mustache. Well, the foamy part is whipped egg whites. This recipe, I can't claim any great culinary wizardry, because this recipe is actually a very simple recipe and comes from a classic cookbook called The Joy of Cooking. Now, have you all ever heard of The Joy of Cooking?
I got a copy a few years back in a Secret Santa from another local Kansas City actress named Peggy Friesen during A Christmas Carol.
Oh, what a perfect gift. Oh my God, Peggy, excellent gift giving. The Joy of Cooking has a recipe called Eggnog in Quantity, because it's for parties and stuff. And it's really a very simple recipe. And the recipe, I was drawn to the recipe because in the description of the recipe, it has this little added thing. It says, and this is from The Joy of Cooking, some people like to add a little more spirit to the following recipe, remembering Mark Twain's observation that too much of anything is bad, but too much whiskey is just enough. Basically, you mix the egg yolks with some powdered sugar and add some brandy or bourbon or whiskey, whatever you want, and let that sit for a while. And then you add half and half or a cream or milk, depending on, you know, how heavy you want it to be, and let that sit. And oh, of course, you add some more whiskey and bourbon. and let that sit for a while. But then getting back to the frothy part, which was the point of all this, then you beat up the egg whites and you fold the whipped egg whites in, and it gives it a really nice, light, I think almost dangerously drinkable quality.
It's definitely a nice touch, and it makes it stand out from the store-bought eggnog so much more. You hit the egg white first. I agree, the actual eggnog is much more light and drinkable.
And you can custom make your sort of alcohol flavoring. I personally have developed my own proprietary blend over the years, and I enjoy, this one actually has bourbon. I use usually brandy or bourbon, but then I add Frangelica, which is the hazelnut liqueur, you know, that bottle with the monk on it and the little rope around it, and Grand Marnier to give it the little orangey taste. This one actually has apricot brandy in it. Apricot flavored brandy. So it's got a whole bunch of little different notes in it, which I think is which is nice.
Now, John, I learned a trick from you, which is to grate fresh nutmeg on top of the froth, and it just sets it off really nicely.
Doesn't it though? So you have an actual, you have your nutmeg grater?
Oh yeah, I'm house sitting, so I'm getting to use all these fancy items that I've never gotten to use before. So I said, why not?
Let's go for it. Excellent. Well, as with most things, the freshly grated nutmeg is really so much more pungent than the already grated nutmeg, and it really sets it off in a wonderful way. It's really good. So, well, I'm glad you're enjoying that. Now, Bree, let's learn a little bit about you. You grew up in Kansas City, is that right?
Just outside of Kansas City.
Well, how far outside?
Well, it depends on the traffic. I hail from Stillwell, Kansas, the sticks just outside of Overland Park. And I've been there for the last, oh gosh, about 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Off and on, I guess.
So when you first went there, it must have been quite rural.
Oh, it was.
I know it's been built up.
It was the first time I ever saw a horse and a cow and all of these nice little farm animals, and they're all in the same place. It was really wonderful. And now highways and byways and strip malls and all the fancy things you can think of.
Does your family have any exciting or special Christmas traditions? Like, do you open your presents on Christmas morning, or are you some of those weird Christmas Eve people?
We opened one present on Christmas Eve, so we're only weird one time. And then the rest of the presents get opened on Christmas Day.
Well, actually, I got to confess, my family, we also opened one present on Christmas Eve. And usually it was a game. We would try and open a game on Christmas Eve night so that we would play that game.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's a good idea. It makes Christmas Eve, it gives you a reason to have an activity.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It worked out really well. Bree, is your family a game playing type of family, or sit around and talk?
We do neither of those things. I guess you could say my family is a family in search of a tradition. We like to try on different traditions every year. One year we did a hip hop Christmas, where we did a family music video to Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Oh.
This year we were supposed to have a Fishmas, which was Poor Man's version of the Feast of the Seven Fishes, the Italian Christmas tradition. But we didn't get to do that this year, so we're postponing it. Something to look forward
to. It's been that kind of year.
Yeah.
That video still exists, I trust.
I believe it's floating around somewhere on Facebook. My brother is a few years older than me, and he's the Christmas planner. So he always comes up with what we do that year. And he picked a hip-hop Christmas, and my dog was involved. She got to rap. She's around wearing a little Santa hat and a sweater, and she looks so darling. And my mom is in the kitchen cooking mac and cheese and collard greens, like the lyrics from the song. So it's a really special memory.
Oh, I love it.
How much does the Christmas theme dictate what kind of things you do?
Pretty strictly. There has been a Christmas Villains Christmas where there's four of us, my mom, my dad, my brother, and myself. So my dad was Heat Miser. My mom was Scrooge. I was the Grinch. And my brother was Jack Skellington. It's always some sort of Christmas theme. It's got to be tied into Christmas. But we always try to figure out, this is the Christmas and this is what we stick to every year. And nothing ever sticks. We have too much fun figuring out what the next year is going to be.
Gives you something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jerry, are you from Kansas City?
Sort of. I definitely consider Kansas City my hometown. I was born in Miami and I came over here when I was around like two. haven't left. Both my parents are from Miami, so we have a lot of connections to Miami. My dad is Cuban and my mom's Colombian, and we still have some family down there too.
Well, I think you qualify as a legitimate Kansas Cityan if you've been here since you were two.
I would agree.
Did your family have any unique traditions? I mean, what, for instance, would Christmas meal be like for your family?
Normally a couple of days before Christmas. Well, my grandma used to be in charge of this tradition, but she's actually living in Colombia right now. So now it's just left up to me and my mom. But we make Colombian tamales, and those last us through Christmas. We make a bunch. It lasts us through New Year's, and sometimes even a little bit after. And on Christmas Day, we satisfy a little bit of our Cuban side of our family, and we make a lechon, which is a Cuban dish. It's a pork butt marinated with lots of orange juice, lime juice, garlic, along with some other stuff, other Cuban dishes like congri. That's rice and black beans. And it's a dish. It's not, you know, separate. It's together. It's also got a lot of like pork flavoring and stuff. And then there's yuca, which is like a Cuban potato, but it is not a potato.
The pork butt sounds a bit moister than, say, your traditional turkey, which is appealing, yes?
It's quite appealing. And it only gets made during Christmas. So both the tamales and the lechon, we look forward to it all year. Actually, fun fact, a lechon is in a Cuban sandwich. It's originally the pork meat that goes on a Cuban sandwich.
Mm. Oh, excellent. Okay, so now these tamales, what is in them? They're filled with something, I take it?
So every country has a different tamal. Maybe a lot of people from Kansas City are used to Mexican tamales, which are thin, kind of long, filled with like beef, kind of spicy.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. This is something different?
It is. It's quite different. It's, you know, it still kind of has, you know, made with the masa and everything like that, but it's got pork. You can make it a lot of different ways, you know, depending on the family. Pork, peas. Instead of spicy, it's a lot more flavorful. I don't know. It's more complex. I guess that's the best way to say it.
Are they wrapped in the corn husks?
They are not.
Ah, okay.
It's actually traditionally wrapped up in banana leaves. Since we don't have very much access to banana leaves here in Kansas City, we first wrap it up in cabbage to kind of add a little bit of flavor.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that sounds delicious. I'm coming up. What time is dinner tonight?
Around 6 o'clock.
Okay. I'll be over.
You bring the eggnog, we'll supply the tamales.
Perfect. That is a deal, my friend. You two are probably a little too young to remember the Bickersons. Do you remember the Bickersons?
We heard the first episode.
Outside of that. Mm-mm.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I don't remember the Bickersons, but they were a legendary duo from the golden age of radio. Our episode today is called Christmas Eve and was written in 1946 by Philip Rapp and originally featured Donna Meachie and Phyllis Langford.
I've heard the names.
You know, apart from that first episode, I unfortunately have not.
Now, Donna Meachie was famous for something else. I'm trying to remember. But anyway, he was the original John Bickerson. And this is a classic Bickersons episode with John snoring and Blanche bickering. And it features some inspiration from the famous O. Henry short story, Gift of the Magi. And curiously, 9 years after this episode, Jackie Gleason used the same idea for one of the most famous episodes of The Honeymooners, which is one of the great comic shows. Now, do you guys know The Honeymooners?
I know The Honeymooners. I love Alice.
To the moon.
My favorite episode is when she's trying to learn how to mambo, and it gets me every time.
Jerry, do you know The Honeymooners?
I have not heard of The Honeymooners, no.
Okay, well, that is a good New Year's resolution for you. Check out The Honeymooners, because it is classic, wonderful comedy. Okay, and speaking of classic, wonderful comedy, without further ado, here are the real-life married couple Hillary Clemens and Matt Schwader as Blanche and John Bickerson. It's Christmas Eve, and the Bickersons have not retired. Mrs. Bickerson is busy wrapping presents in the bedroom, while husband John, exhausted as he is from the pre-holiday activity, puts the finishing touches to the tree, which stands proudly in the kitchen, the only other room in the Bickerson small apartment. Listen.
John? John, will you bring the scissors, please? John? Oh, What is he doing in there? Oh, no. Well, how can a man fall asleep on a ladder? Well, I haven't got the heart to wake him. Oh, but I better get him off of there. John? John?
What's the matter, Blanche? What happened, huh?
Oh, you poor dear. Did you hurt yourself?
No, no, I'm all right. How'd I fall off that ladder? I must have fainted.
Yes, dear. You were fainting like a log when I came in. Oh, why, John?
What?
You never even touched your dinner, not a morsel of it.
I don't like the looks of it, Blanche.
Oh, stop that talk. It's perfectly good food. You let it sit there on the kitchen table for hours, getting cold. Now, you want me to warm it up for you?
No. Just tell me, what's on that big plate?
Are you trying to be funny, John?
I'm not trying to be funny, Blanche. What is it?
You know very well I can only cook two things, liver and rice pudding.
Well, which one is that?
How can you be so nasty on Christmas Eve, John?
Blanche, I just asked you a civil question, that's all. I didn't think it was liver because your liver always looks like rubber heels. That stuff looks more like scrambled eggs, so I thought it might be rice pudding.
Well, why don't you taste it and find out?
I'm not hungry.
Well, that's why you're always tired, John. You don't eat enough.
I eat plenty.
Well, what did you have for lunch today?
Well, you ought to know. You packed it for me. And listen, Blanche, I'm getting sick of carrying my lunch to the office in paper sacks. Why can't I go to a restaurant like the other fellas?
John, what are you talking about? I haven't fixed your lunch for 2 years.
Oh, Blanche, every morning of my life, I find my lunch wrapped in brown paper on the side of the sink.
Lunch? That's the kitchen scraps.
Oh, how do you like that? No wonder I never have an appetite. Why do you do that to me, Blanche?
Well, go on, eat some dinner and finish trimming the tree.
I don't want any dinner. I want to go to sleep.
Well, aren't you going to finish the tree?
I could do it in the morning.
Oh, but John, tomorrow morning is Christmas Day. I expect a lot of people to drop in. The butcher's coming and the milkman is coming.
Well,
and then...
Listen, Blanche, I can't afford to give those guys presents. Why did you invite them over?
Well, I didn't invite them. They're coming here to collect their bills.
Bills? What bills? I gave you money for the bills.
Well, I had to buy presents, didn't I? My sister Clara sent me a package, and I had to get her something in return.
No, you didn't. Nobody asked her to send you anything.
Well, she did just the same, so I bought her a bottle of perfume.
How much was that?
$24.
$24? Nobody can carry that much perfume.
Well, it was only an ounce, silly. Oh, it's the latest perfume. Very daring. It's called Perhaps.
Perhaps. For $24, you should get Positively.
Oh, don't be so crabby, John. We're not gonna fight on Christmas Eve, no matter what happens. Now, remember, you promised.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get mad because you didn't send me a Christmas card.
I did send you a Christmas card.
Now, it isn't necessary to make excuses or alibis, John. I'm going to forget it entirely.
I don't have to make excuses. I did send you a Christmas card. I mailed it 5 days ago.
John, you promised you wouldn't shout.
Well, then why are you goading me like this? You know I wouldn't say I sent you a Christmas card unless I had.
Well, I never received it.
Well, then it got lost in the mail.
That's... possible.
Thank heaven.
Now, all the other cards came.
That doesn't mean anything. One card can get lost, can't it?
If you sent it.
I did send it. I swear I sent it. It had a wonderful poem on it, a beautiful picture. It was trimmed with lace. Cost me $1.
All right, John.
Well, do you believe me?
Let's not discuss it anymore.
Okay.
But I hope you don't forget to send one next year.
Oh, what's the use? All right. So I didn't send you a card.
Oh, well, that's all. Now, why didn't you admit it before?
There was nothing to admit. I just said I didn't send it to end the argument, but I really sent it.
Well, what did it say on it?
It said, Merry Christmas to my love.
Well, that could be anybody.
Let me finish. It said, Merry Christmas to my love, my wife, my life, my turtle dove. My life with you is great, it seems. I love you more than pork and beans.
You are only adding insult to injury, John.
Well, how do I know what it said? I can't remember what... What's that laying on top of the newspaper? There! There it is. There's my card.
Oh, so it is. Oh, see? Now you didn't have to get so excited after all. Thank you, darling. Oh, it's a lovely card.
Wear it in good health. Well, let's open the presents and then go to sleep.
Well, how could you, John? You know we never open presents until Christmas morning. Now, besides, you haven't finished trimming the tree.
All it needs is a string of lights. One of the bulbs is blown. That kills the whole string.
Well, can't you buy a bulb?
The stores aren't open now. What time is it?
12:05.
Well, that's good. It's Christmas Day. Let's open the presents.
Well, you didn't even hang up your stocking.
I haven't got one that would hold anything. They look like lace curtains. Come on, let's open the presents, Blanche. Come on, huh?
Oh, all right.
Say, we haven't got very many this year, have we? Oh, who's this from?
That's from Leo Gooseby. It's amazing how you went to the one shaped like a bottle.
Is that what this is? Oh. Hope it's good stuff. Not bad at all.
John, that's shampoo.
Shampoo? Why, that chiseler, two-bit Leo. What do I want with a bottle of shampoo? And to think I threw out 39 cents on a tie for him. What do you got there?
Oh, it's another present for you. Oh, from your boss.
No kidding. Gee, that's a big one. What is it, Blanche?
A 5-gallon can of lighter fluid.
Well, that's fine. That's just what I need. I don't even own a lighter.
Well, don't feel too bad, John. Maybe you can exchange it for something else.
Yeah, last year he sent me a bowling ball case. Let's get these things at a rummage sale. I never heard of such presents.
Ooh, here's one for me from Louise Shaw.
Shoo, I bet that's a dilly.
Oh, Louise always sends something nice. Not expensive, but it usually comes in handy. Well, look at that.
What is it?
It's a Polo score pad. Oh, isn't that nice?
That'll sure come in handy. Honest, Blanche, you've got the weirdest collection of friends. Is there anything else?
Just our presents to each other. Now, why don't you look at what I got you first, and then you can show me what you got for me. Now, close your eyes. I'll unveil it.
All right. I hope you didn't spend too much, dear. I don't really want anything.
Open your eyes.
Oh. Blanche. Oh, Blanche, darling, that's beautiful. That's a dream. A portable bar with a brass rail.
Well, don't you think a kiss is in order, John?
Oh, a million kisses.
Well, stop kissing the bar. I meant a kiss for me.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, darling. It's just too good to be true. Oh, you are wonderful. Blanche, that must have cost a fortune.
Well, John, don't get angry, but I sold my fur coat.
You sold your fur coat?
Well, I wanted you to have the bar, and I didn't have the money.
You sold your coat? Your beautiful fur coat that you bought yourself for my birthday? That gorgeous bald mink?
Well, I got $75 for it, and the bar cost $85.
Oh, Blanche, you never should have sold that bald mink.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I have a cloth coat, and I never get cold.
Yeah, but you don't understand it. Open the present I got for you.
Well, I can't wait, John. Oh, a muff! Oh, a fur muff!
Genuine plucked skunk. I had it made special to match that coat. It can hold 2 full quarts. And you sold the coat.
Oh, well. What's the difference, darling? Well, someday you'll make a lot of money, and then you'll be able to get a coat that'll match the muff. I'm very happy, John.
I know, but...
And you still have the gorgeous bar.
That's just it.
What's the matter?
I sold all my bourbon to pay for the muff. That's great, isn't it? What a break for both of us.
Well, I think it's wonderful, John.
What do you mean, Blanche?
I have never been so happy in my life. We've both made a sacrifice. And that's worth more than all the gold and precious jewels in the world. Oh, just to know that you gave up a prized possession is proof enough that you love me.
I've always loved you, Blanche. Look, I may holler and rant and act like a first-class crumb sometimes, but you never doubted that I loved you, did you?
No, John.
It's been 7 years, honey, most of it uphill. I haven't showered you with diamonds or bought any yachts, but I try not to deny anything. I suppose you have your little faults. What woman hasn't? Or what man, either, for that matter. Yeah, we're both pretty sensitive people. Maybe that's why we beef so much. Still, I don't think we're any worse than any other married couple. At least we have a safety valve that we can let off steam. Some of the others just carry it inside till the break comes. No, Blanche, I like it this way. And I love you more than anything on earth.
Oh, John.
Oh, hey, cut that out. Hey, I'll prove how much I love you. Where's that liver or rice pudding, whatever it is you made?
It's liver.
I'll eat every bit of it if it kills me. Let's go.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's just so sweet.
Oh, liver and rice pudding. That's terrible. I think I would prefer the lechon, maybe some tamales, maybe
Let's
even
have
some
tamales,
eggnog.
Please. We're going to have to teach Blanche Bickerson how to make tamales.
She can come over.
Oh, yes, liver and rice. That's so strange. But it's nice to know that even the Bickersons can put aside their bickering for a warm and lovely holiday. The episode you just heard was directed by Gary Heiserer, and the sound design and engineering was done by Mary Robinson.
It was produced in conjunction with the UMKC Theater Sound Department, with a special thanks to Greg Mackinder. And a big thanks to Matt Samick, who is engineering this eggnog party portion of today's show. Let's have more.
I never stop. Were we supposed to?
What a good idea.
We should definitely have some more. It's so good. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is made possible by support from donors like you. This episode was sponsored by Rosemary Polk.
Our program sponsors are the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, the Muriel McBride Kaufman Foundation, the Richard J. Stern Foundation for the Arts, the Miller Nichols Charitable Foundation, Theater League, Arts KC, the Missouri Arts Council, and a very special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus. Wow, all these wonderful supporters. And in this season of giving, I want to send out double thanks to everyone who has supported us during the 16 years of Kansas City Actors Theater. And a big welcome to Bree and Jerry, the newest members of our group. We're so glad to have you with us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
I'm only here for the eggnog, but I appreciate being appreciated.
We will eat and drink well. So until next year, my goodness, next week, it's going to be next year. Oh, thank God. We hope you stay healthy and stay tuned.